Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you are the man, and you have the Mock 3.0 out, and you have the Bears trading down. Was that a nod to the possibility, or do you now believe the Bears are rolling out of number 9 and trying to pick up the draft capital that they used already?
Well, if you do multiple mock drafts, and I'm going to have one more before the draft, I think you've got to mix it up a little bit. If you republish basically the same mock draft every time, what's the point? So a lot of people have talked about that possibility, and I think I've been pretty clear with you guys. I think if that is something that they consider, they can't trade down too far. You really don't want to move too far below number 9. They moved one spot down from 9 a year ago. So I just put something together that, you know, is it going to happen? Probably not. Is it feasible? I think it is. And then it also had him taking an offensive lineman, which is something a lot of people have talked about, and certainly something that we can't discount and has to be a possibility. I mean, you go back and you look at, okay, well, what happened in Kansas City where they had a quarterback that some people have drawn parallels to Caleb Williams with? Well, Mahomes was a star, and the only struggles he's had in the postseason have been when they got overmanned, outmatched up front on the offensive line. They could not hold up in the trenches. So would that lead him to look offensive line? I think it's a possibility that has been discussed, is worthy of discussion, and therefore you could land with an offensive tackle in a mock draft.
So you have them moving down to 11 to take Troy Fontenot from Washington, which is certainly possible. I don't think it's likely, especially not if Neighbors and Adunze are still on the board, according to your mock draft. What I found also interesting, Brad, is that do you really think that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to drop to 6? And if they do, regardless of your mock draft and publishing your third one and all that stuff, if Marvin Harrison is on the board at number 6, how compelled might the Bears be to want to move up to get him, as much as that would cost them a lot?
Yeah, I think it would cost them a bunch. An answer I don't have right now is how do they have their wide receiver board stacked? And then what's the gap between those players? Okay, so we'd be making an assumption that Harrison's 1 on their board. I don't think that's you're not going out on a limb, but it's possible they have him ordered differently, but if Harrison's there at one. What's the gap between him and two, whether it's Odunze or Neighbors? And if it's minimal, I don't like the trade-up idea. They are short on draft capital this year, although they can point to proven veteran players that they've got on the roster right now that they turned those picks into. Why not set yourself up with really extra draft capital that they already have for next year? And the Giants, they might want to stay put and get the best receiver they can have. That's a team that you look back over the last three, four seasons, and the New York Giants have really struggled at the wideout position. So could they trade down with the Bears and still get one at nine? I guess. It's certainly fun to talk about. I think the Chargers have to take an offensive lineman at five if they don't trade out. It just seems like Harbaugh's identity, and they've certainly had some issues there. So I would look at L.A. to take an offensive lineman or potentially entertain a trade down.
Brad, if they're going for an offensive tackle, wouldn't that suggest then that they have lost faith in Braxton Jones? Or, I don't know if he's any good. I think he's better in pass blocking than run blocking, but I think they have invested a lot of starts in the guy, if you know what I'm saying. So it makes you wonder if there's another step for him where he could be an improving player. And I really don't know what they think of him or how they have him rated. Is there any chance they may look at him and think like they did with Justin Fields, let's give him another year and see if he can get it done, and if not, we'll replace him next year? Or is that too dangerous an idea given the fact that they're going to draft Caleb Williams with the first overall pick?
I don't think that's a dangerous idea at all. You look at how he played this past season, and was he at a Pro Bowl level? No. Was he terrible? No. Like he looked like a, guy that most Sundays was sort of mid tier, and he was probably a little bit better when Tevin Jenkins was on the field. We know that Tevin missed a little bit of time, and I think, guys, that if Caleb Williams can do what I believe he's capable of, and that's getting the ball out in a timely manner most of the time, you're going to see the quarterback make the five offensive linemen look a little bit better than they are, if that happens. Now, if Caleb is holding on to the ball and running around and doing all that stuff, that's going to make things challenging for those guys. But the way Justin Fields played at times created issues for the offensive linemen. And that's the kind of thing that creates issues for the best offensive linemen in the league. When the quarterback has the ball for a long period of time, when the quarterback struggles moving from one to two to three at times, that can make it a bigger challenge for the linemen. So would taking an offensive lineman in round one signify that they've lost faith in Braxton Jones? I don't know that I'd go there. That would signal, hey, they see a guy that they believe is going to be a big step up and a guy that'll be a building block for the future.
So Chop Robinson became the latest edge rusher to visit Hallis Hall on Monday, Brad, according to reports. And you look at the edge rushers they've brought into the facility, and you do wonder if it appeals to Ryan Poles to get the number one offensive player in the draft, if that's Caleb Williams, and the number one defensive player in the draft, if it falls that way, and it certainly could. How tempting might that be for the Bears? And are we, obviously looking at wide receivers, we're talking about offensive tackles and all those things, but which one of those edge rushers that have come through do you think would tempt them the most?
Well, I think that if Atlanta stays put at eight, there's a better chance than not that the Falcons would select a defensive player. you look at that Falcons roster right now, and they need help getting after the quarterback. Could they make a play for a wide receiver if one's sitting there? Yeah, if they've got a huge grade on a wide receiver, I suppose they could go that route. But right now, if I had to venture a guess, Atlanta's taking a defensive player at 8. With the Bears, some of these defensive guys that have come in to visit, I look at some of those guys, and Chap Robinson is one of them. Is like, well, here's a guy they're getting more info on in the event they do find themselves in some type of trade down scenario. I think 9 is probably a little too rich for him. But it only takes, one team to love a guy. You could have 31 teams feeling like a guy's a late first round pick, and one team saying, yeah, he's worthy of something anywhere around, 10th overall. And that's all it's going to take for him to be drafted that high. I think that's got to be a consideration. And I think you're not just talking about the edge rushers, though, David. I think you got to include the Texas defensive tackle Byron Murphy in that conversation, an interior defensive lineman who most people I've spoken to feel like he's the best in the class. And it's a class that's probably a little thin on high-end talent. It's very difficult to find people on the planet that are capable athletically of playing that 3 technique position. Illinois' Johnny Newton, certainly another one, but I think Murphy's ahead of him right now, and I would certainly include his name in any discussion of defensive players that could be in consideration for Ryan Poles and the Bears in the first round.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So obviously the voluntary portion of the program has begun, and we're seeing teams around the league begin their voluntary, and I'm using air quotes, off-season programs. Supposedly in Minnesota, Justin Jefferson, a no-show, looking for a new contract, wants to get paid. Great player, understandable, I suppose. Are there any no-shows for the Bears, to your knowledge? Is there anyone interested in getting money before they turn up? And back to Jefferson, I mean, there's a lot of $25 million receivers floating around the NFL these days. And, the Bears traded a 4th-round pick for a guy that's going to be a $23 million cap hit. Wouldn't getting a receiver be getting ahead of the game in terms of trying to be able to manage your cap moving forward?
That's a great point, because you look at the salary cap and you look at the franchise tag figure for wide receivers this year, and that figure is probably going to climb for next year when you consider that one way or another, you're likely to see new contracts for some wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, yep. Brandon Ayuk. If those guys get bank, I'm talking, a couple Brinks trucks full of money, then you're going to see that tag number spike up a little bit. And at some point, right, the Bears are going to have to pay DJ Moore, right? I mean, he's got 2 years left on his contract, so there's no rush in that. And they've got him. I mean, he was a value producer for him last year when you consider what they got from him statistically and in the locker room and what they paid him. So they're going to have to address his contract, give him a raise, add more years to it. And if you're doing that, that just makes it somewhat difficult for me to believe you're going to be in a spot where you're then paying Keenan Allen a ton of money beyond this year. And it's easy to move in that direction without Allen if you draft a wide receiver in a year, which is, I mean, it's loaded at this position, guys.
So, Brad, your Mock 3.0 has J.J. McCarthy going third to the Patriots, and I wonder what you're hearing about just how far up he is skyrocketing. He seems to be the player in this draft that is equivalent to, like, last year's Anthony Richardson. Not quite sure who is going to be fixated on taking him, but you figure somebody will be. What are you hearing about J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean, it's people talk about a bunch of things with him, the makeup, the athleticism. I think he's got the processing ability, right? I mean, he's sort of sneaky athletic. He can pick him up and put him down when he's on the move. He can make plays on the run. He was asked to do some stuff at Michigan that I think translates relatively well to the pro game. And people talk about the winning. And I know, you've got two distinct camps. You've got the camp that says, you know, that a team's record is part of a quarterback's resume, right? And then you've got other people that say that, you know, that the team's record has nothing to do with the strength or lack of strength of the quarterback. But he did nothing but win for the Wolverines. And I think he's going to go pretty high. I would guess he's going to be gone in the top, oh boy, I mean, six anyway. It's going to be really interesting because I think Jaden Daniels is going to go second to Washington. And so then does Elliott Wolf, who's running the draft in New England, follow in the footsteps of his Hall of Fame father, Ron, and get a quarterback, right, to try to reboot things in New England? And then who's coming for a quarterback at four with Arizona? Or does someone do that? The Vikings appear to have set themselves up to do that. But we'll have to see. I have a hard time believing Denver gets up to four just because the Broncos are a little short on draft capital. But certainly Sean Payton would really like to get a quarterback out of this class. So it's going to be really interesting. We've got a little more than a week to go. The good reason for all the excitement and optimism.
And we know the Bears go quarterback at number one overall. That is a fait accompli. When you look at number nine, we have heard mention, you know, edge, we've heard wide receiver, and we've heard offensive tackle. If indeed they take a player there, is that their shopping list for the rest of the draft? Do you believe they're going to come out of the draft with, you know, whether they add picks or not, with an edge, with an offensive tackle, and with a wide receiver after the quarterback?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's something you kind of keep on your shopping list. I believe that the depth in this draft at wide receiver and on the offensive line would make both of those two positions a possibility in round three. You know, I looked at some down-the-line edge guys last week. I think it was in my mailbag. I can't remember where it ran. That's a possibility. Hey, guys, I don't want to rule out the idea of Torrey Taylor, the Iowa punter, at some point. He does things.
Hey,
yeah, I mean, his guy.
He's the Caitlin Clark of punters.
He is.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what he can do to control the football when it lands. It's just unbelievable. I talked for a while. I think it was back during the Senior Bowl. I talked with LeVar Woods, who had a very brief stop at Hollis Hall as a linebacker, but played throughout the league, and he's been the special teams coach at Iowa for a while, and it was just kind of amazing talking to him about Taylor and how he really kind of just grew his craft one year after the next at Iowa. I mean, you know, little outside of the box to use a mid-round pick on a punter. Yes, the Bears once used a second-round pick on Todd Sauerbrunn, who had vanity license plates that read Hangtime. That was back in the mid-90s. But if you get a guy like that and he performs like you believe he can perform, I mean, you've got that position rock solid
locked down.
One of the better guys in the league for 7-8 years.
It's a great point. I hope they do it. It'd be a lot of fun to talk about. Brad, Bill Belichick was at Guaranteed Rate Field over the weekend. He was at Northwestern lacrosse practice in the locker room talking to Kelly Monte Hiller's team. Did he make a stop at Hallis Hall? Can they use any of his wisdom? Any rumors there? What was he doing in town?
Did he stay at your house?
Yes. Did you guys confer?
No. I mean, he went to see the Sox. They're horrible. Oh, my God, are they bad.
Wow, that's as enlightening as your mock draft.
I mean, their offense is worse than, like, the worst Bears offense I've seen in 24 years. And, guys, I've got an advanced degree in identifying bad offensive football.
Yes. It's so true.
You do. Is that from Mizzou, too?
It's unbelievable.
Uh-huh. All right, buddy. I
don't know if he stopped at Hallis Hall. Okay. But that's a good question. I hope that Northwestern lacrosse team's better than the Sox.
They are. It would hard to be worse.
Okay.
You're the best, Big.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You got to love it. But there's a gratuitous shot.
Oh, he'll take it. Yeah, he'll definitely take it. Did you see that picture with Ozzy and Belichick that he put out there? And Ozzy talked about taking a long time before he asked him for a photo. And Bill Belichick was there as a guest of Tony La Russa. And friends and relatives were at the game.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Listen, the Sox, they are attracting big-time celebrities. Bill Belichick on Friday night, Simone Biles.
I saw.
Saturday.
Her husband threw out the first ball.
Yep.
Did you happen to see Gronk throw out the first pitch at the Patriots Day game? You know, the Boston Marathon was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was really funny. He was like the grand marshal of the Boston Marathon. And so he went to throw out the first pitch, and he did like a Michael Kopech. He tried to throw it.
Oh, I did see that. That was
so it was like him. It was him, his version of a spike. It was very funny.
Spiking the baseball into the ground.
Very
not
funny.
Out of disgust, just
fun. Just out of his Gronkness.
Yeah.
So that was great stuff. 312-644-6767. What do you think of the draft? Are you okay with the trade down? Is it beneficial to trade down? Are you concerned that they're going to pass on someone here? You know, can you use up all your draft capital and then say, you know, we don't have enough draft capital? It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.